It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and I want to begin with a question. Have you ever heard of K-Cars? That's spelled K-E-I, the smallest category of vehicle you can buy in Japan that is still considered a car and not a ATV or a golf cart. They can be no more than 11.2 feet long, 4.9 feet wide, no more than 64 horsepower. Now, just to put that in some perspective, that's significantly smaller than a Honda Civic, like 4 feet shorter. It's even smaller than the teeny tiny Mazda Miata, at least the vintage original version that many of us remember. I bring this up because recently, after a visit to Japan, President Trump expressed interest in manufacturing K-cars in the United States and ordered his transportation secretary to change regulations to make them road legal here. Those remarks made some car enthusiasts excited at the idea of being able to own a U.S.-specced K-car, but others are taking an I'll-believe-it-when-I-see-it approach. You actually can drive K-cars in America. They just have to be 25 years old or older, and many people are doing just that, including here in Illinois. But while some are enjoying their tiny rides, others are facing frustrations, specifically with the Illinois Secretary of State's office. Many drivers of K-cars are getting notices their vehicles are no longer registerable in Illinois, essentially only making them legal for off-road use. And it seems to be hitting people kind of randomly. So with that in mind, for the rest of the program today, we're going to talk about the likelihood that new K-cars would be sold in the U.S., if there actually might be a market for them, and some of the issues owners of older K-cars are facing here. Joining us now to talk more about this is Mercedes Streeter, senior writer for The Autopian. She herself is based in Illinois, though joining us from Florida today. Mercedes, welcome to the 21st Show.
Good morning, and thank you for inviting me.
Also with us, Tyler Barg, owner of Tiki Bunny Imports in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He imports cars that were never sold in America, including K-cars. Tyler, welcome to you as well.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
And listeners, you can join us today at 800-222-9455. I wonder if you have ever considered a K-car. Would you drive one if given the opportunity? And what do you think, in general, of the size of cars, trucks, and SUVs in America? 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. All right, Mercedes, let's just tell people who maybe are not as familiar with K-cars, why do they exist in the first place?
That's a very good question. And they provide some specific benefits to the people of Japan. They're very tiny maneuverable vehicles. And they tend to be built with space to be maximizing their space. So the majority of their length will just be space for people and sometimes their cargo. But more than that, these cars offer an opportunity where you can buy them and you can get tax benefits. They cost less to insure and cost less to on taxes. And those benefits have weakened a little bit in recent years, but there's still an incentive to buy a smaller, cheaper car because it costs you less money in the long run.
And talk more about what form these vehicles take, right? It's not just the little pickup trucks. They're all sorts of vehicles you can get that are considered K-cars.
Oh, yeah. They take up all kinds of shapes. Common ones are like little boxy four-door cars where it's just like people from front to back, bumper to bumper. You can also get them in little fun 4x4 SUVs. They're all in the same length that you mentioned earlier, so they're no bigger than the scale. But they have SUVs, sports cars, convertibles, even like a cool like gullwing car. They come in basically all sorts of flavors that regular cars do. They're just very small.
The K DeLorean. I'm waiting for that. All right. How expensive are they to purchase and maintain?
Well, I don't have exactly like new data right now as to like what they'd cost in Japan, but I mean, over here in America, if you buy one from a dealership, you can get like a cheap one for like $7,000, $8,000, maybe $10,000 or so.
All right, well, maybe that's a good time to pivot over to Tyler Barg of Tiki Bunny Imports. So, what first got you interested in K-cars?
I think it harkens back to the days of old video games, especially Sega GT back on the Dreamcast at the very tail end of the 90s. That was what introduced me to a lot of the iconic vehicles like the Honda Beat and the Suzuki Cappuccino and your K-size DeLorean, which is the AutoZam AZ1. Ironically enough, it was Mercedes Streeter right here who got me into the idea of importing vehicles into the United States. And it just kind of spiraled out of control in all the right ways from there.
Say more about that. Was it like an article you came across or what?
Yes, Mercedes was actually importing a Honda Beat and a Suzuki Every at the time. And she was very careful to detail out how she was doing it. And I saw an opportunity in doing that, not only for a hobby, but something to reconnect me with the car community that I'd hadn't been a part of for, the better part of a few decades at that point. When I saw what the process was, I very quickly set on to finding my own vehicles in Japan. But unfortunately enough, my first attempt did not go so well. But since then, there's been almost 100 vehicles imported to America from Japan, the majority of which are all K vehicles.
Mercedes, well, that's kind of an amazing serendipitous connection there. How about you? How did you get into K cars?
Okay. So first, mention there. I wrote a series of articles about how it was like importing a Honda Beat to America. So yeah, the car was a rust bucket, but it was still fun and it taught me a lot of stuff. As for how I got into it, kind of the same way. I played like Gran Turismo 2 and Gran Turismo 3 growing up, and I was always fond of because the game is made in Japan and has a huge focus on Japanese cars. So a lot of the cars in the game are super tiny right-hand drive cars. I'm like, oh, this is so cool, so fun. And I guess as our generation gets older, we drive real cars. I'm like, let's get the cars from our video games. And I've also always just loved tiny cars. I currently own five smart cars, so tiny cars definitely within my wheelhouse.
Oh, we're going to talk about your garage later on.
Oh boy. I don't think you have time for that.
So, Tyler, I mentioned Americans can, right now, you can only import older K cars. So tell me, what is that process actually like?
Gotcha. Yeah, 25 years is the current laws for importing cars. It definitely limits us to what we can do, but it always creates a runway of new cars that are just on the horizon. Traditionally, how I go about this is through a series of online auctions in Japan, where they provide condition sheets that detail all of the flaws in the benefits of each individual vehicle, whether they have aftermarket parts, whether they have scratches and dings, tears in the seats, etc. We know everything about the overall quality of this vehicle thanks to those sheets. And in the event that we want to go in further, we can actually send an independent inspector in to look at all of these vehicles to ensure that these are as high quality as we can possibly, see fit. Obviously, any vehicle that is 25 plus years old is going to have some sort of issue with it, but we really aim to minimize that for the American buyer because I have no vested interest in bringing over a project. I want to continue to import these little things as joy machines. Once we do win them at auction, we do have a network of shops throughout Japan that'll do maintenance work and mechanical work to them to make sure they are turnkey ready when they get here. We'll put these cars on what's called a roll-off auto liner, which is essentially a gigantic floating parking lot. They sail through the Panama Canal up to various East Coast ports or West Coast ports. They offload for me in Newark, New Jersey. We get those cars on the back of a transport truck out here to Milwaukee and to all destinations in the continental U.S.
How many clients do you get from Illinois?
Illinois is definitely one of the more popular places that I bring cars to. There's a number of cars there already that have our Tiki Bunny logo on them, and there's even more on the way. K cars are exceptionally popular there, especially in both the urban and rural communities. Urban communities are always looking for small, fuel-efficient K cars that can navigate a city easily. Whereas the rural areas tend to focus more on K trucks, where a K truck can be imported into the United States, titled, plated, and registered, for well under $8,000. What's really nice about that is you have a four-wheel drive truck with air conditioning, with all the bells and whistles that you need to maintain a property or maintain a farm, without that significant price tag of an American vehicle.
Yeah, 8,000 versus 80,000, perhaps, for one of the, giant pickup trucks. That's fascinating.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let me remind listeners, we're talking about K-cars, and we're going to get to some comments that President Trump recently made where he wants to see, apparently he became enamored of these on a trip to Japan, wants to see an American K-car industry. We'll get to whether that is likely to happen, but there are already a lot of, as we've been talking about, K-cars in Japan. They can be imported here if they are over a certain age. We're talking about this with Tyler Barg, owner of Tiki Bunny Imports, and Mercedes Streeter, a senior writer with The Autopian. So, Mercedes, let's say an Illinois driver gets a K-car and tries to register it with the Secretary of State's office here in Illinois. What are some of the issues people are running into?
Well, I'd say about 90% of the time, currently anyways, you'll go to the Secretary of State office and you will have no problems. You will turn in your paperwork. You will, you know, get the car registered and titled. What happens is after you get the vehicle registered and titled and you start driving it for months, and then one day you might receive a letter in the mail saying, hey, wait a minute, we believe we registered your car in error, so we're now going to revoke your license plate and you can't drive your car anymore. But worse than that, you get a title in the mail that's been amended to say that your car is not eligible to be registered. And that can bring forth additional problems if you were to try to sell it, because you have no idea how another state might interpret your that title now.
And is that also a problem with insurance, I would imagine?
Yeah, that can be a problem with insurance too. I mean, in my experience, I just tell my insurance what I'm insuring, and they might add like 7 zeros at the end of the serial number to make it comply with their system. But yeah, insurance issues, it kind of, I guess your mileage may vary.
Yeah.
But in my case, I have not really any issues insuring them.
Tyler, talk about the registration process from your perspective, because you are dealing with clients in multiple different states, right? What are some of the variances you've seen?
Every state in the country has some sort of a DMV policy, and they're all fairly significantly different from one another. For example, in North Carolina, they'll actually send an officer out to your house to inspect the vehicle before they turn over the plate physically to you. In Colorado right now, they'll actually issue you a new VIN for your vehicle in order to have it be a 17-character VIN for their systems. Most JDM vehicles and K-cars in general have shorter VINs between, you know, 9 and 13 characters. Which does throw off older systems. There are states like Maine that simply won't register a K car under any circumstances. Here in Wisconsin, even today, we have had folks report to us that the state of Wisconsin is now denying registration of K trucks. So we're reaching out to our local legislatures to make them aware of that and hopefully bring a law onto the books that says these vehicles may be registered, because right now there's nothing that says they explicitly can be. So we're going to do our best in following the footsteps of Lone Star K, the organizations led by Anything Wheeled in Massachusetts, and the wonderful folks who legislated K-legality in Colorado and Michigan as well. So it's a constant battle, no matter where you are, to make sure that the vehicles that you love are able to be registered, and to be aware of it, and to not be afraid to be active and call your Congress critters in order to make the positive changes to make it an easier process.
Mercedes, you know, importing cars is not new for Illinois. What do you understand about why these unregisterable slips are getting handed out now?
Ah, that's a very good question. And it goes back to how the federal government treats imported vehicles. Back in the day, before federal motor vehicle safety standards, you were able to basically import anything you wanted and, you know, register and deal with the registration issues with your state. Then as time went on, we decided to make cars safer and introduced the federal motor vehicle safety standards. And then what happened is, if you wanted to import a car, you'd have to convert that car to the safety standards and emission standards that existed at the time. And then, of course, finally, around 1988, we decided to ban the importation of vehicles until they've reached the age of 25, given they have, with very few exceptions. And this whole issue, the registration, stems from the fact that there's an organization that's known as the AMVA, the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators, who seek to streamline all laws across all driving laws across the states in Mexico and Canada and other territories. And the idea they've been looking into K cars and other imports for a while, and they realize they've come to this conclusion that if a car is not built to American standards, it should not be legal to drive on the road. And they've been urging the member states, which is all 50 states, to pass a law or a DMV policy to find some way to ban an imported vehicle. And amazingly, it's not just the Ks, even though they've been the main subject, but in some cases, like Maine, for example, Maine passed a law that stated that any import that doesn't meet American standards must be banned from the road. So you can get like a BMW, import a BMW from Europe, and you'd have the same problem that people are having with their K trucks and K vans.
What is the well, you know what? I was going to ask you a question that will require more time than we have before we need to take a break. So let me pause. We'll pause here. Let me remind listeners that this is the 21st show, and we are talking about K cars, small Japanese cars. They're JDM. You might have heard that acronym thrown out earlier. That stands for Japanese Domestic Market. They are the smallest category of vehicle that you can buy in Japan that is still considered a car and not, you know, an ATV or something like that. 11.2 feet long, 4.9 feet wide, 64 horsepower. These are really small vehicles. And right now, you can import one from Japan if it is over a certain age, built in the late 90s, I believe. And you may or may not run into some registration problems depending on what state you are in. We're talking about all this with Tyler Barg, who is the owner of Tiki Bunny Imports, and Mercedes Streeter, senior writer with the Autopian news site. And we're going to continue this conversation, and we'll talk more about what President Trump has had to say about K cars and whether there is any chance, as he has suggested to his transportation secretary recently, that an American manufacturing arm will be spun up for these things. 800-222-9455 if you want to join us today. 800-222-9455. More to come on the 21st show. Stay with us. It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about K cars, a class of tiny cars with origins in Japan, and car enthusiasts in Illinois and across the country who have been importing these cars into the U.S. to use here. But as we've heard, some Illinois drivers are having issues with registering their vehicles. There are opposing groups urging, you know, laws that make these more legal in Illinois or easier to properly register in Illinois, and other organizations that are saying no, they should not be here. We are talking about this with Tyler Barg, owner of Tiki Bunny Imports, and Mercedes Streeter, senior writer at the Autopian. 800-222-9455 to join us today. 800-222-9455. You know, I look at these things, and yes, I've seen the pictures that compare like a K pickup truck with your standard GMC or Ford or Dodge ginormous tank pickup, and that vehicle is definitely going to lose in a collision. But you know, people are allowed to drive Vespas and motorcycles, and there are not even helmet laws in Illinois. Tyler, can you just talk about some of the concerns, safety concerns that people have about these things, and how you think about them?
Absolutely. I mean, when you consider a K vehicle in the United States, you know, we're only starting to import things that were manufactured in 2001. So we're starting to see, you know, security or safety advancements like airbags, even side curtain airbags, starting to become more and more standard on these vehicles, which is a wonderful leap forward in time. But honestly, one of the wonderful things that we could do to make K vehicles safer would be to bring in new ones. But unfortunately enough, that 25-year-old law is preventing us from doing so. Now, Japan's roads are safer than the US's, even adjusted for population. But then again, Japan is a smaller nation than the United States by far. In fact, Japan is slightly smaller than the state of California. Their speed limits traditionally range between 55 and 65 miles an hour on their versions of their highways. And generally, everything is a little bit smaller and slower in Japan, and these vehicles are ideally suited for that kind of environment. And they are perfectly safe within that environment. Now, in the United States, we certainly have a larger vehicle issue at hand. And I think what President Trump is talking about when he's talking about falling in love with K cars and manufacturing them here is it's a wonderful opportunity to address the issue of safety in our vehicles across the board, and really start to review the size of our vehicles and what they really need to be, as opposed to what we have now. And a K vehicle, manufactured in the United States or even imported from Japan brand new, is a great way to start that conversation and start to make systematic changes that would allow a K vehicle to not only succeed here, but thrive here.
So, what was your reaction to when you heard him make these remarks?
I was certainly surprised by it. I mean, K cars, in my experience, and one of the reason they are successful as imports here is that they are joyful little things. They are unexpected, they're small, and even in car communities that are heavily weighted towards old American muscle, it will bring smiles to the faces of everybody that sees them. No matter what it is, from a tiny K roadster to a truck to some of these larger delivery vans that are in K size.
Mercedes, what did you think about what the president had to say?
So first of all, I was like, wow, okay, that's completely unexpected from, I mean, any president, but definitely Trump. But I've taken a bit more of a we'll say skeptical approach due to this because technically speaking, Ks could have been imported into America at any point. As I stated earlier, it's the government's concerned with safety regulations and emissions. So if Honda or another company wanted to import their cars, they would just have to build the K cars to our safety standards and emission standards. But they haven't done that. And from what I've seen from in the aftermath of these reports is that these automakers don't believe there is a large enough market for them. But there is some interest there, and like Tyler said, if we are able to do a phase change in the car market, make everything smaller and more affordable, there might be a chance there.
What let's well I, let's go to the phones actually. 800-222-9455 if you want to join us today. And we have Rolf calling in from Woodridge, Illinois. Rolf, thanks for calling
Yeah,
in.
I was going to ask about safety, but it sounds like you've covered kind of that. But maybe one of the things I could ask about is, are the K cars popular in Europe, like in France and Berlin and Germany? What's the acceptance rate over there? Thank you.
All right, thanks, Rolf. I don't know, Mercedes, can you speak to that perchance?
Yes, to a degree. So Europe has its own little thing going on. Out there, they have a thing called a quadricycle, and they're four-wheeled vehicles. They're very slow, you can even drive them when you're 16, when you're a teenager and don't even have a license yet. So they actually do accept tiny cars over there. They have the Smart 4.2 and other tiny city cars. They don't call them K cars, and it's they're more for like the tight European cities and less about the whole tax benefit thing, but. Yes, smaller cars do tend to do better over in Europe than say in America does.
Let's see if we can get another call in. Sharon in Kinmundi, if I'm saying that right.
Almost.
All right, correct me, and thank you for calling in.
Hi, I wanted to add in another element that is already here yet is allowed in some communities, I understand, but not in others, are our electric golf carts, which are desired as a transport vehicle by elders. And We in Salem, we actually have a factory that makes these really nice electric golf carts that are shipped all over the place. But unfortunately, he's not allowed to sell them for surface road use. I mean, obviously, you can't put a golf cart on the freeway. I mean, that would be verboten anyway. Okay, but the fact is that the regulations that keep these from being used on surface roads, and that a lot are oppressive, and they're a lot more visible than some of the K cars.
No, that's a really interesting point, okay. Sharon. Thanks so much for calling in.
So, why not? That's my comment.
Good question, Sharon. And I'll just add to that. I was we visited Cincinnati last summer and went across the river to northern Kentucky, and I was surprised at how many of these. I mean, you can't really call them golf carts. These things are way fancier than that. They've got nice paint jobs and radios and fancy lights and all that stuff. I don't know, Tyler. Can you talk about that market and how that compares to K cars and the relationship there?
Certainly. In this case, I have imported K trucks into communities like that. There are, famous communities in Florida that even have parades of these golf carts and whatnot. And as our caller mentioned, they're simply not safe for use outside of these, small gated communities. This is where, something like a K vehicle comes in clutch, because not only is it, designed and built for, use on roads that are, 55 plus miles an hour, they are crash test rated in Japan, but they are small enough to scoot around a neighborhood without too much worry. A golf cart in general is essentially an electric bench with a steering wheel. There's really no safety. There's very rarely seat belts on them, whereas K cars and K trucks are built with airbags as we start to get into the more modern era, and accoutrements like, sealed cabins and air conditioning and radios and whatnot. They're certainly a more elegant solution to a small neighborhood problem that can be used inside and outside of these communities. So it certainly is another aspect of their use in the United States, and a really fun and interesting way to do so.
Let's talk about the possibility of this actually happening as an American industry, because that is an important caveat that the president included, is he wants to see American made K trucks. I'm looking at the top 10 cars sold Mercedes last year. And it's pickup trucks and SUVs and two sedans, which are not the smallest sedans made by their company. So what do you think is the possibility that American companies would want to take up this opportunity?
I think it depends. As I said earlier, basically, the option to sell these cars in America has technically always been there. And I mean, we've had the Subaru 360 before, Suzuki Samurai. We've had tiny cars sold in America before. And it's going to be kind of hard to a certain degree, because if you're, say, Honda, again, picking poor Honda out here, and you want to sell, say, you want to make a brand new Honda Beat, you'd have to convert it for U.S. standards and then either deal with the tariffs or build them in America. And both of those are going to cost money. And small cars in America tend to be more price sensitive, where a lot of people aren't going to spend a ton of money on something like a Mitsubishi Mirage or a Honda Fit. So it can't be too expensive. But then again, as we saw in the 2010s, if gas prices and finances get cheap enough and the economy gets good enough, people stop buying tiny cars anyways. So these would probably have to be priced in a way that would make them cheap enough that people will keep on coming back to buy them, even if the economy is good. So I think it goes back to what Tyler said earlier, where we kind of just need to rethink how we do cars in this country, to make smaller cars more inviting, cheaper, and better. But I think as things currently stand right now, as the car market currently is, I think they'd have a big challenge.
Yeah, Tyler, what do you think about, I mean, you mentioned this idea that, making roads safer in general for all Americans. There have been people campaigning about, the giant pickup trucks and even just the way they are shaped and how much they've grown, and they having those really snub-nosed fronts. There are pictures online. You can find people posing their toddlers in front of these things, and you absolutely cannot see a toddler or even an adult in some cases, depending on how jacked up these things are. How do you think about, you know, American car culture in general, and what would have to change to make K cars more popular here?
I really do think that a K car change is a possibility, despite the, you know, sizable challenges that we would face. This is an excellent opportunity to ask ourselves the question, you know, are these large vehicles, you know, worthwhile? You know, certainly I had a picture roll through my social media feed the other day where the front of a large truck, its bumper was sitting at the roof line of this individual's, you know, modern sedan. Certainly that doesn't serve anybody other than the one in the truck itself. And as we get larger and larger, things just get increasingly unsafe. K cars are kind of the opposite of that and give us the opportunity to talk about why cars are so large and what we can do to start to shrink that down. Because certainly we've seen vehicles get larger and then smaller before in the 70s and into the 80s. It's happened before. It can happen again. All we have to do is really look to what the value in a K car is in the United States, whether that's going to be something that's more inexpensive, more affordable, despite having features like level 2 driving assist, which is a common feature in modern K cars in Japan. The most popular selling vehicle in Japan in the last few years has been the Honda N-Box, which is, again, a K van. You know, very boxy, very simple, very straightforward, but still loaded up with technology. We're certainly not giving up anything by having a K-sized vehicle, even in this country, other than size. They can do highway speeds. They have all of the modern safety features. And if we started to build them here, obviously that would be a very large investment for automotive companies. But like Mercedes said, you know, Honda, Toyota, Nissan, Mitsubishi, Daihatsu all have, you know, manufacturing facilities in Japan that can start to do these things. I would love to see somebody take on that challenge within the United States and start to really underline why a K vehicle is worth it, you know, either in Japan or the United States, and say, hey, we're going to challenge the current paradigm and really try and change the zeitgeist of American car culture, because K cars are for everybody. They're joyful. They're fun. They're every part of a vehicle that everyone needs. My daily driver is a 1994 Daihatsu Tri K van. It's got room for four, and it's got enough trunk space for the dog crate and a week's worth of groceries. I don't feel like I'm losing anything by driving a K van around. And wherever I go with it, there's always people taking photos and smiling. Oh, yeah. One of my son's favorite games is finding all the people that are taking pictures of it as we're driving by.
Tyler Barg is the owner of Tiki Bunny Imports in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And we've also been speaking with Mercedes Streeter, senior writer with The Autopian. Thank you both so much for joining us today on The 21st Show. We are out of time. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thank you for listening. We will talk with you again tomorrow.